Guys, a very good morning to you. Welcome back. Wasn't that a great song? It's Tim here with you on It Used to Be Ireland. I am joined by none other than man, myth, and legend, Dave Durbin. Dave, welcome. Do you prefer Dave or David?
Dave.
Dave.
Yes, yeah, thank
does
you,
anyone,
Tim.
Does anyone call you David?
Only my mother.
When you're in trouble or
when
all
I'm in
the
trouble.
Time?
Okay. When I'm in trouble, yeah.
So I get Tim most of the time.
Yeah.
But then when I'm in trouble, my wife will say Timothy.
Oh, I
or
see.
If she wants to get my attention, she'll say Timothy, and then my mum's Timothy.
Like just like that, with
yes.
the high pitch at
oh,
the end there.
Yeah. Like she is unreal. But my mommy's from Derry, and you've got connections in Derry as well,
I
so
do.
You'll know this, that people in Derry don't talk, they sing. And so, like, no, it's the most funniest thing because every word is like, so when she's in Timothy, it's like that's just her normal, natural, you know, she sings her words.
That's right. Sing song.
Sing song.
That's right.
Sing song. Very good.
That's right.
So come here, tell me this and tell me no more. Just for our listeners' benefit, you are, if my memory serves me correctly, the most recent member of our staff team here in UCB Ireland. You're not Irish. You definitely
not.
Don't sound like you're from Ireland.
I don't have an Irish accent.
You definitely do not. I'm sorry to be that.
Yeah, I tried. I don't. No, I am from originally from New Jersey in the States and now live in the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania. Yes. Tell me this then. What's the best thing about Pennsylvania other than flights to Ireland?
Other than the flights to Ireland, the best part of Pennsylvania is it's scenery, rolling hills, mountains. I live just outside of the Appalachian mountain range, and we are fortunate to have a small farm ourselves and rolling hills. Just a beautiful, beautiful state. Yeah.
So the last time somebody told me they had a small farm, it was 1,000 cattle. Are you small farm, 1,000 cattle, or are you small?
We are 100 head of cattle.
Okay.
And it's 75 acres, so I would say, is that 25 hectares, whatever, however you measure it here. Yeah.
It's
something
big.
Like that, yeah.
It's bigger than my land.
Well, we can give you some if you'd like.
I would
come over.
Would
Tim.
Love to have some.
Timothy.
I dream of having land. I dream of building a tiny home on that land.
Yeah.
And then I dream about having the opportunity to wake up in the morning, give thanks to God and his glorious creation.
Amen.
Walk my dogs, sing to the Lord,
amen.
Go for a run, and just exist.
Amen, Tim.
Right?
That sounds wonderful.
That's the dream.
But when you sing in the dream, is it in Gregorian chant? Or
it
is
can
it?
Be at times.
Okay.
And our listeners, the regular to the show, will know that I had the privilege of listening to some stunning Gregorian chant in Rome a couple of weeks ago. And the desire to have that experience was birthed out of a really divine moment that I had. And I'm going to come to you and ask you a question about this in a moment. But I'll tee this up. I had a divine moment. So Jenny and I, when we got married in 2006, yes, when we got married in 2006, we went to Rome on our honeymoon and we did all the tourist stuff, you know, all of the things that you would expect a person to do when they go to Rome. By the way, if you ever go, you can do it in a day. I did it in a day the last time I was there, like last week. But we were in a crypt somewhere in Rome and Jenny was off exploring and I was like dying inside. I don't want to look at dead bodies and dead things and all that stuff. Anyway, and I could hear this beautiful sound coming from somewhere. So I followed the sound, lost my wife, and lost myself in this singing, in this moment of being in the presence of God, where there was about 15 priests on the other side of a corrugated wire all singing. And it was absolutely
wonderful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I kind of try to carve out moments in my life where I'm very intentional about positioning myself in an environment where I know I will experience the presence of God. Now, you and I know this. Mm. We can experience the presence of God anywhere, everything, and in anything. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when we're a little bit intentional about stepping out of the norm to go and connect into the presence of God, something really beautiful happens. So I'm wondering for you what that looks like. If you were to take yourself out of the normality and the reality of wife and life, sorry, not wife, life, and intentionally position yourself in the presence of God where you know that you might hear from him or he might touch you or something would happen when you're with him. What do those moments look like for you?
Yeah, it's similar. I have a background in music and managing music, one particular Christian artist and band, and it's a similar story. His name is Matthew Ward. He was in a group called The Second Chapter of Acts back in the 70s and 80s. And Matthew and I have been on the road quite a bit over the years. And we were at a Benedictine Abbey in New Mexico, north of Santa Fe, years ago, meeting another artist, if you know the artist John Michael Talbot. And he had a retreat there. And they did also Gregorian chant, of all things. And beautiful. I remember just getting so overwhelmed and lost in it. I was raised a Roman Catholic growing up and came to Christ when I was 18 years old. And music has always affected me. And this particular trip, similar to what you've experienced, I just went off by myself in the Abbey and was just overwhelmed by the presence of God and music and being alone with him, and I felt it like I've never felt before. So, yeah, because we live such busy, frenetic lives, right? So,
really do.
With family and work and the trials of life, and you know, how do I get through it? And it just brings it all home in those moments. You know, be still and know he's God, basically. So.
You know, just as those words come out of your mouth, those are the words that were in my head, to be still and know that he is God. And when we, it's not just about making the time, but it's about taking the time that we make. Because so often we carve out time and then we get distracted and we don't use it.
Yeah.
But actually when we make the time and take the time that we've made to sit at the feet of Jesus, something really, really beautiful happens. I'm always curious to know what the phrase sit at the feet of Jesus means to other people. You know, we use that phrase a lot and we say, oh, come to the cross, sit at the feet of Jesus.
Yeah, we have a lot of cliches we throw around, don't we?
Yeah, we really do. And I suppose for anyone who's new to the show today or anyone that's kind of joining UCB Ireland or Life Today and who's on a journey towards God or maybe starting a journey with God or even has been on a journey forever and a day and they hear that type of language, you know, come to Jesus, sit at the feet of Jesus, come to the cross. What would you say sitting at the feet of Jesus actually means to you and maybe what our listeners could kind of hold on to?
To me, Tim, it really just means listening and being patient, which I have a very hard time doing. I am such an impatient person, and while I'm even praying at times, I'm letting God know at the very same time what I want and what he needs to help me with and all of that, with that boldness. But sitting at the feet of Jesus to me is really being silent and listening. And I've always said in my Christian walk, I would love when I was going through trials and tribulations, if Jesus would just sit down next to me on the bed and talk to me and tell me what's going on. It'd be so much easier. And I've had people throw out, well, you know, be still and know he's God. And I'm like, well, I am, but I'm impatient. I want to hear audibly, physically what he's saying to me. But sitting at the feet of Jesus is just in adoration of him, knowing he's with you, even though you can't feel him at the moment. You know he's there. That's the faith part of all of it, right? So, but it's being patient and listening. Very hard things for me to do.
I think they're hard for all of us. I sat with a guy yesterday in Oma who texted me out of the blue and said, I'm hungry, I have no food. And you're the only person that I can think of to reach out to. I'll be honest with you, at the time it felt like a huge inconvenience because I was getting ready to leave the house with my wife and my daughter to drive up to take my mum out, you know, and it meant that it kind of put a delay on My time getting there, and anyone who's listened to my show yesterday will know that it took 2 hours for my food to get to my table anyway, so it was already delayed and it didn't, so it really didn't matter.
Yeah.
But right. Rather than giving the guy money and rather than getting him food, I brought him into a restaurant and I sat with him and I got him lunch. And we were chatting about this idea of being with God, because he was saying, you know, I had faith and I don't feel like I have any faith. And I don't feel like I can see God, and I don't feel God, and I don't know that He's there, and I'm what do I say? I know what is going to come out of my mouth is going to be everything that He's heard a million times before. I just pray, know God is with you, and just sit longer, and all of those things. And in the busyness of life and the world that we live in, that's not what we want to hear. It's countercultural. It's counterintuitive for us to actually be patient, to sit and to be still. And what I said, which I hope was helpful and maybe will be helpful for some of our listeners right now, is I said, sit the next time and be expectant.
Yeah.
And maybe that will change what happens.
Right.
Because I think sometimes, maybe you've experienced this, Dave, certainly in my own life with God, when in those moments where I feel far from God, I think it's about me. And then because I think it's about me, God doesn't want to meet with me. And when I go into a space expecting to see God or meet God or hear God, it's a funny thing that happens.
Yeah.
So you've got a load of people this week. I'm taking this off in a different direction because we've gone deep very quickly.
We went right off the end, which is great.
I think because it gives our listeners an opportunity to catch your heart, and they'll know that you're a man of God who loves the Lord and loves people, and you know, you have a level of maturity about you that will hopefully encourage our listeners. And so we alluded to the fact a while ago that you are the most recent member.
Yes.
Of the UCB Ireland team. And you are, could I say, our USA ambassador?
I am a USA ambassador. Mm-hmm. I think my official title is manager for the UCB Ireland team there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I'm very happy that came. I was sanctioned by the board there a year. Yes. So very lofty.
No turning
appointment.
Back.
No turning back now. But no, I. I'm the manager of UCB Ireland, very happy to say so. I met Robbie a couple of years ago, and we started these Christian Heritage Tours, bringing Americans over to your beautiful island. So,
And so tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
You're going to be bringing a group.
Yes.
On a heritage tour.
Yes, our third annual, Tim.
Third annual. Isn't it incredible to think?
It's gone so fast.
What God has done. Well, I mean, it's incredible that you've come back for a third time. We haven't put you off yet, so that's good.
No, not yet.
We're trying hard.
This morning with Robbie in the coffee. But other than that, I mean, I'm very happy.
You mean tea?
Well, I had tea.
Because there was no coffee.
Yeah,
let's just throw
coffee.
Him under the bus.
Yeah.
Let's just
right.
do that.
You know,
you traveled all the way from America.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even offer you a cup of coffee.
I know. It's all right. But we pray for Robbie, and
we are a nation of tea drinkers, to be fair.
Yeah, that is true.
Yes.
That's fair. Yeah.
So you've got how many people on your team
we
coming tomorrow?
We have a small but mighty group of 10 only. We've had
Brilliant.
Some tragedy in some of the group that were coming. Some were hit with cancer, other very serious issues, and they couldn't join us this year. Hope to next year. We typically get 25 to 30 people, even more, that come on the trip.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very excited to welcome them tomorrow.
Yeah. So intimate.
Yes.
Very good. So they come tomorrow. And are they all coming from Pennsylvania, or are they coming from right around the 50 states, possibly soon to be 51 states?
Yeah, 51 states. We won't.
If you believe everything you read in the news.
Go in that direction right here. We'll stop that right now. But yeah, I want them to like me here on the island. But we have two from Pennsylvania, a couple from Colorado, and some more from Florida. And we have one gal from Sweden joining us.
Sweden?
Yes.
Wow, that's really cool. Very good.
Yes,
that's lovely.
Yeah, so we're excited.
Wow, I didn't know that. And so the tour starts in Dublin.
Starts in Dublin.
And then where do you go?
Then we go north. We'll stop at the Hill of Slane.
Yes.
And we'll talk about Patrick there. And then we're into Northern Ireland. And we go to Belfast.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be at the Stormont Hotel there for 2 nights. And we'll see all the beauties, things you can in Northern Ireland, the Antrim Coast and the Giant's Causeway and all of that. And then we're down to Galway for 2 nights.
Beautiful.
And then we're going south through Clare. Mm-hmm. We cross the River Shannon and we're into Kerry and Killarney, Ring of Kerry.
Mm.
Back up to the fabulous K Club in Kildare. Wow. Yes, very posh and very fancy. For 2 nights. Mm-hmm. And then we're back dropping folks off to Dublin Airport.
Sounds incredible. So what's the expectation for you on the trip? In terms of what you want people to experience?
Well, primarily, you know, most people, and this is interesting, Tim, most people join this trip because it's a bucket list item to visit Ireland, mm-hmm. whether they have Irish ancestry or they saw the movies. It's just a wonderful romantic vision of visiting Ireland, especially for Americans.
Yeah.
And but when they leave this tour, they come with a different perspective, right? So, or they come out of it with a different perspective. They see the work of UCB Ireland. We read daily before we start our trip. We'll have a little prayer and we'll start our trip with Word for Today. We'll have that reading. And we see all the wonderful sights you want to see, like the Cliffs of Moher and all of that, you know. But they see the good work that God is doing in the island and what UCB Ireland is doing on behalf of God, right? We impart that on them. It's not an overly religious tour. We don't, you know, knock them over the head with Jesus or any of that. And often a lot of people that come on the tour aren't churched people or religious people. You know, they just want to see Ireland. And when they come out of the tour, though, they have a deeper appreciation of what God is doing here on the island and for Jesus himself, you know? And again, we don't badger people for the gospel. We just present the mission of UCB Ireland, serving the church and reaching the nation.
Which is really beautiful. I'm keen to know, I'm sure you've told us this before in another interview, but what was it that attracted you to want to partner with UCB Ireland?
Yeah. It's amazing how God works, you know, in retrospect. And I always have to look back and see how he's woven time, you know, for me. And then, but as I mentioned earlier, I am very heavily involved with a Christian artist named Matthew Ward. He was in a group called the Second Chapter of Acts. They were a very, very popular Jesus music era group in America and around the world, actually, in many albums, you know, many accolades. So I manage Matthew and his bands. We have one in Nashville, L.A., and one in Holland when we tour in Holland. Matthew's wife, Deanne, met Robbie at a religious broadcasters convention in Nashville a few years ago. And just by chance, they caught a cab together. It was raining and going to their hotel. And Robbie introduced himself and then Deanne introduced herself. And she said, you know, my husband is Matthew Ward. And Robbie was a big fan of Matthew and the Second Chapter of Acts. And that's how it was born. He says, you know, we have a vision. God has placed a vision on our hearts to maybe bring Americans over to see what we do here in Ireland on a tour. You know, we could show them all the cool sites, but at the same time show what we're doing as a mission, if you will, with UCB Ireland. So she put him in touch with me right away because I'm his manager. And she said, well, Dave can help you organize. Thanks, Deanne. Okay. And it was born. We started having Zoom calls and God laid it on my heart that I can help UCB Ireland in America. You know, we're a huge, huge population, over 370 million people, very diverse politically and otherwise, as you know, Tim. And, you know, but there's a lot of Irish ancestry, you know, there. And, of course, everybody claims to be Irish, especially on St. Paddy's Day and all that. But, you know, I know there's a heart for Ireland and How can I help UCB Ireland in a very small way, just me, amongst this population, to help raise awareness, raise funds, bring people on this tour? And that's how it all started. And so Robbie went and talked to the board. I know it was a struggle. They finally approved me. And no, I'm just kidding. They said that was awesome.
I heard that they fasted and prayed for 9 months. They fasted
and
prayed
in sackcloth and ashes too. For 9 months. Yeah. And then they finally said
yes. They finally got the white smoke.
Well, before, and there wasn't anybody else, right? And that they asked, was there someone else maybe from Ohio, you know?
Oklahoma.
Or Oklahoma, right. But no. Dave from Pennsylvania, I'm your man.
Yep. We got God's best. You did. We really did. And I love this. Genuinely love this. That God keeps sending his best to Ireland. And I know that Ireland is dear to a lot of people's hearts. And I wouldn't dare say that God loves Ireland more than anywhere else in the world. But sometimes actions speak louder than words, you know. But he does, you know. Yeah, he really does keep sending us his best. I've been in church leadership for almost 20 years now. I'm also almost saved.
Almost.
Sorry, keep praying for me, people. I'm also saved almost 20 years. It just was a catalyst of just how it all came about and all that happened. And for the last 20 years in my walk with Jesus as a follower and as a leader, I've had the privilege of working with hundreds, potentially into the thousand American missionaries, friends, family, and people that God is continuously sending to Ireland to bless. And I love that. I love that Ireland has got a soft spot in globally. Mm-hmm. Has a soft spot in people's hearts. Mm-hmm. We were once known as a sending nation, but yet I feel like we are the nation that is being sent to at the moment. I read recently that Ireland potentially is the most un-evangelical country in all of Europe. If Mitch from Crown Jesus Ministries was here, he would be able to tell me the exact statistics, but he's not, so I'm just going to bluff my way through it and just say that I know that we are a nation that needs a lot of encouragement, that we are a nation that needs a lot of prayer, that we are a nation that needs to see a fresh move of God in families, homes, schools, colleges, workplaces, prisons, hospitals, anywhere and everywhere, that we need to see God move on this island so that we can be the sent again.
Yeah,
I believe that.
Yeah,
I really do. The privilege for me sitting in this chair is that I get to encourage my listeners to go into the world to make disciples. And I love how God is constantly encouraging us here in the island of Ireland by sending us beautiful people like you
to come and encourage
us to say, hey, we are standing with you. We're believing in what God is doing in you and through you and with you and for you. And whatever part we can play, then we'll play it. And I know that's your heart.
Yeah.
I know that's why you're here. I know that's why you're in the chair. I know that's why you're doing the tour. And so I want to say thank you publicly.
Thank you.
I will slag you when we're off air.
Yeah, of course.
But I'll thank you publicly. And I'll be very endearing and lovely and warm. Yes. And, you know, we love you, Dave, while we're doing this. And then once we're off, I'll go back to normal. We'll go back to normal.
Normal
services will resume.
Get your own coffee, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like
you
waltzed. Can I just say this, actually?
You waltzed
in here this morning into the office. Where's my drink?
Where's my coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I asked Robbie, you know, can you get me a coffee? And then he broke the machine and he, you know, people are like, well, that's Robbie. You know, he's a CEO. I said, well, I'm a guest and honored at that, right? I need my coffffee. Yeah. I'm just part of the staff now. Doesn't matter. You get your own coffee, Dave.
Right, Dave. Exactly. Who do you think you are?
Enough of you.
Waltzing in here.
You're not even a good waltzer.
No, you're not, actually.
No.
Very good. Let me ask you this question real quick. We're talking about waltzing in, and I know that expectations in America around service in restaurants and cafes you'll notice this. You will have noticed a significant difference.
Yes.
So I was asking my listeners on my show on Monday, yesterday, what they thought was a reasonable amount of time to wait for your food to be delivered. So we brought my mum out. I think I've already said this and alluded to this maybe at the start of the interview today, that we waited almost 2 hours for our food to arrive. We didn't complain. We didn't leave. We eventually got our food. How long would you have waited?
Well, probably not that long. Yeah. In American culture, as you know, we are very impatient people, and we have such high expectations, and you know, and when you think about the rest of the world, you know, they would just, me honestly, in some places, be so thankful to even be in a restaurant or have the ability to be in a fine restaurant, right? And so, no, we're very impatient people. After if we weren't acknowledged for 15 minutes, then we would just have to say something, and we would then huff and puff, and you know, and we'd be out of there. That's how we are. That's how we roll.
Yeah, it was quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we were in good company.
Yeah.
My steak was not worth waiting 2 hours for.
Yeah.
It was good, though.
Yeah.
First world problems.
First world problems.
First world
problems.
No,
seriously.
No,
think
I know
about
that. I'm so blessed.
We're so blessed.
We really are. To be even, to be sitting in this chair, in the safety.
It's
like, if
warm.
You think about even just how we get to practice our faith in our everyday lives, you know, we are not in fear right now. You might be in fear of what I might say.
I'm in awe of you, Tim. But
Robbie
yeah.
will be terrified of what I might or might
it's
not say.
Around the corner, but, that, yeah.
But the reality is, you know, we do not live in fear. You know, we publicly can proclaim our faith. Mm. We publicly practice our faith.
That's right.
In community with other people. And we are so blessed. And so, guys, if you are listening today and you're on a journey and you feel like you are alone, would you do me a favor? Would you get in touch? Send me an email, tim@ucbradio.ie. And Dave, if our listeners could be praying for you and our guests this week, what would your prayer be?
Just pray that not only that they have a wonderful time, I know they will, but pray for our safety. Pray for the logistics of it, because it's a lot of coordination with lots of people and hotels and meals and things like that. That they'd be blessed, you know, that God would touch us and they would open their eyes to this beautiful island and the really the glorious history of this island, and go home just warm and blessed. Whether they started this trip as a believer or not, it doesn't matter. God always manages to touch everyone on this trip in a magnificent way.
Brilliant stuff. So there you go, guys. You know what to pray, Dave. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Hopefully we still have jobs.
Yeah.
Whenever this airs.
I hope so, because I think it'll be touch and go. We'll know in about an hour.
Yeah. Guys, pray for us. God bless. Dave, right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tim. Bye.